Milani, do you want to say something? Okay. Yes, Ruth, I was also at the Love All, Serve All this week. I unfortunately forgot Andy Murray's name when I had a conversation, and the guy said to me, "This is typically you South Africans." So it was a good conversation that I started off with, but it was an amazing experience. We really had a good time. I took my daughter with. It was actually her first outreach. David actually said it's not a real outreach. It's a cheating outreach. It's an easy one because it feels like, you know, building relationships and really showing the love of God. And it was an amazing experience just to see that God is really in this place, and that God wants to meet with people, and He has a desire to be known to everyone. So thanks for that testimony. It was really a great experience. Next year, we'll be there from the beginning, David. Not the last night after the storm. No, it was a great experience. This morning, we have a few things installed, and that the most important thing for me is the fact that we are sending the Guildford plant. And I want to thank you guys for being here this morning. It's a far way to come. And I know that there's the A3 and buses, and I know you guys had a lot of trouble to come here. We want to thank you. You could have stayed in bed, but you decided to come to the house of the Lord, and we honor you for that. So thanks, guys. You are the guests here tonight, this morning. And I want to preach on that this morning. I want to talk about being an apostolic church, but before I do so, I want to ask Carlos quickly just to come and share with us what is going on in Guildford at this stage. Is there anything going on in Guildford?
Thanks, Hercules. I'm going to be short. Last week we had our last service in the Walton Weybridge area, and we are planting people in Guildford Godalming area. Because the people's the church. We're not planting a church, we're planting people. So the people that God's planting on the other side is Christy, Melba, Johan, Tertia, Carlos, Elmery, Barry, Marcel, Ian, Margo, Marcus, Britta, Trevor, Ange, Louis, Martin, Pitman, and Sarka, 18 people. Carla, Eva, Benjamin, Kaylee, Nathan, Rory, Jess, Angelina, Elizabeth, Bella, and Jandre. Those are the kids. So we are 29 people that God's planting. Alistair, Marika, Ruben, Benjamin, and James, this is their last service here. They'll be leaving for South Africa because God's planting them there. So we're so grateful that we seeds, and we're starting our first service next week in our home, 26 Chalk Road. For the first time I live in a home that's got a name. My house's name is Lama's Bank. Doesn't it sound cool? You can say just like your Lama's Bank. I live in Lama's Bank. So it's going to be there. We have a few venues that we're looking at, and we will keep you posted on when we're going to start there. It's going to be sooner than later, but those are the people starting there, and there's a lot of people waiting there for us. We are excited for the people that's waiting for us, the university students, the connections that we've made, and a lot of people that really want to meet with us and talk with us, so we're excited about that. We're going to pray for Alistair, Marika, Ruben when we have fellowship afterwards. If that is fine with you, David, right there, we're going to pray for them. We're going to send them. We're going to bless them. They're going to go to South Africa, and we want to honor you for your contribution in the congregation on that side. Alistair preached in both pulpits, and Marika is the kiddies church leader, so this is their last day here, and we're going to have it and enjoy it afterwards, Alistair. So please, we would like to pray and just fellowship with you for the last time. And then we want to thank you for your support this morning. This means a lot to us. Acts chapter 13, verse 1 to 4. And they were sent by they were set apart by the Holy Spirit and sent by the congregation. And that's important for me. And we want to thank you. Thanks, Hercules.
Amen. Thanks, Carlos. Yes, we can actually pray for you guys at the end of the service as well. I think it's so important to recognize the sacrifice and the contribution that you guys have made. I know, Alistair, you've been here now for how long?
2005.
Yeah, that's a long time. Yeah, so we really honor you for that. And we want to send you, this is good seed, and we trust for multiplication on this side. Eh? So in sending you, we trust that God is really going to bless us in our growth on this side as well. This is really an amazing testimony. I want to thank you. My wife is just reminding me, please say thank you to everyone that blesses us as a family. It's our second week, and guys, you're just not stopping. It's amazing the way. I hope this goes on week and week, and can this go on for a year so that we can have honeymoon for a year. my wife had a cries over the washing machine that works differently than in South Africa. And we had an amazing time to settle in. Thanks for giving us the room to do so, so that we can actually be ready and to support you guys and to run with you. I want to talk about a subject that I know we will not be able to finish this morning. We'll only be starting the conversation, but I believe that there's some important things that we should talk about. In sending the people this morning, I believe there's a few things that God wants to plant in our hearts, seeds that He wants to plant in our hearts, so that we as a congregation, not just here in Wimbledon area or London, but also in Guildford in the future, would know how God works in the apostolic culture. And the time that we are in, for those of you that don't know, they call it the Apostolic Reformation. Now, if you look at what is happening in Germany now, this is now the, how many years? 500 years since Reformation this year. It's actually so blessed to see how people is getting saved in Germany and getting baptized and spirit-filled, and amazing things is happening in Germany. I just spoke to a pastor in Germany that told us that they baptize every second week and in their church, and the last time that they baptized, when I spoke to him, he said there was 120 people that they took through the swimming pool. So guys, there's amazing stuff happening in Europe and in London. You know, walking at Wimbledon, I can just sense that God is doing some beautiful things. But I want to talk about cycles that happens in Christian history that is important to us. Now, if I can start this morning by saying that we don't know how the church would look like in the last days. And so there's many people that speculate, and I hear a lot of criticism. They would come to you and say, listen, you as a church does not represent what we believe Jesus Christ you know, wants for the last days and how it should look like. I can tell you, we don't know how it's going to look. But what we do know, and I want to say to you this morning, and that is my answer to anyone that is coming to the church today and criticizing the church for where it's at. At least we are faithful and humble enough to recognize that we don't have all the answers. And as long as we stay in that place, we will be fine in the last days that Jesus will be leading us. Because He's leading His church. And in coming into an apostolic culture, it's so important to understand that moving in the times that we are in, and with an expectation of the coming back of Jesus, we must turn that expectation into an understanding that only Jesus can lead us. And as long as we are in that place, we're safe. So you're safe this morning, and I can tell you, I know that the leadership of this church prays and makes sure to hear from God, and they don't have all the answers, but they are seeking, and they are willing to change, to adapt that which Jesus Christ wants to do in and through this church. So, Romans 8 verse 23 speaks of, and not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit grown inwardly, as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Now can I just quickly say, just after 2000, there was a celebration of the 100 years of Pentecostalism, and amazing things that we were reminded of in what happened at Azusa Street in America, where the whole world was flooded. And if you don't know, being part of the Charismatic Church, this is part of your heritage. To know that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the understanding of what God has done, you must know history. And I want to ask you to go and read about Azusa Street and many things that happened to form and shape the church as it is today. And so just after 1900, an amazing outpouring of the Holy Spirit happened in Azusa Street, America. And this flooded even Asia and, even at that stage, Africa. Amazing stuff started to happen. But it came with a cost. Now, people like Parham and Seymour, people that were very committed to the cause of Christ, then started to experience persecution. I must give you some background now. They started to experience persecution to such an extent that by the 1920s, the church went through a lot of hardship just before the First World War and big things happening worldwide. The church went through a lot of persecution. Now, you must remember now, the people that laid down their lives had kids. And those kids started to grow up within a church culture that experienced the power of the Holy Spirit and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And so by 1948, we know that there was a big memorial, even, of Israel becoming their own state. And I know that you might not know what's going on in Israel, and I don't bother too much on... at this stage to make that my main focus. But what I can tell you, God has a plan for Israel, which we must respect, and we must have respect for what God is in timeline going to do in Israel. But Israel is not the ultimate. Jesus came to save all of us. The beautiful thing of what happened at the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost was the fact that many people got together in the upper room, and one of the fulfillments of the Messiah was the fact that he would leave the key for every person and not just for Jews. And so we read that Paul would spend a lot of time in his epistles to actually talk about the fact that now everyone is free and everyone has the opportunity to partner and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so, such a momentous occasion was it when one of the promises was for Israel to become their own state, to have their own country again. One of the promises that God actually brought to the Jews. Now, some people went very wild at that stage because they said, listen, this must be the second coming for the Jews, or the first coming for the Jews. Of the Messiah, because of the promise of the fulfillment of Israel to again come to their fulfillment. Now, a lot of hype was created. Now, the older people can tell you, after 1948, there was a lot of hype going around the whole Israel experience. But then by the 1960s, the generation that was actually now growing older as kids, as fruit of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the Azusa Street revival, those kids came to a place where they said, listen, enough is enough. Our parents struggled and suffered enough. We want to actually see the goodness of God as well. And the pendulum started to swing to the other side, where then again, the church started to focus on what we know as prosperity preaching, where they started to only speak about the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God, the prosperity of God, if you know God. And if you did not experience the blessing and the prosperity of God, people would even think that God is not with you. And we know that is a lie. And so, after the 1960s, we see something that happened through the charismatic movement. And now, the charismatic movement was the focus on the charismata, the gifts of the Spirit, and that every member would know that they are part of God's kingdom and that they are part of the ministry of God. And a beautiful thing started to happen, 1980s, 1990s, and then from 2000 onwards, we see what we now call the Apostolic Reformation, a time where the Apostolic Church starts to get being developed. Now, what does it mean? I want to talk about that this morning. Because we can't say that we are sending people out if we don't understand an apostolic culture. Is that all right? So, I want to just read to you what Hyatt said about apostolic. The church is apostolic when it focuses on Scripture and conformity to it. Then Peter Wagner wrote, apostle is the transliteration of the word apostolos, which means one who is sent out with a commission with the power to personally represent the one sending him. And then Luther, the Reformation rejected the church structure to official apostles, but recognized the apostolic as those who do what the apostles did. And this is my conversation with you this morning. Is if we want to call ourselves an apostolic church in the last days, we must say to ourselves that we must do what the apostles did in the first church. Now, what did the apostles do? There was three things, main things, that we know was evident in the church culture with the apostles. The first one was that they always recognized that they could only do God's job if they were empowered by the Holy Spirit. They recognize their inability to actually do anything for God. The second thing was the fact that they understood signs and wonders to be part of their culture. Now, this is a difficult one because I can also tell you that part of the charismatic movement, they also came a lot of nonsense. And we must repent of many things that we've done wrong as a charismatic movement in representing Jesus for who He is. Because it's easy to focus on signs and wonders. And I love what that one lady said actually at the Wimbledon outreach. She said, God is not a slot machine. And I believe that many of us as Christians actually uses God for what we can get from Him. And that is fine for a new believer that needs to find his feet and understand the goodness of God. But when we start to grow up and become mature within God, we must learn that just the being of Christ is important. The fact that we have the privilege in serving under an Almighty God. And so I want to say to you, signs and wonders is wonderful as long as we understand why we have signs and wonders. It's not to be all-powerful. It's not to show that the church has power at all. It's so that the unsaved can come to Christ. It's so that we have an understanding of what the apostles had dear to their hearts, and that was that we must actually represent God for who He is. Not just a God that can actually show His power, but a loving God that actually wants to manifest Himself in relationship to each one of us. And as a result of that, we often find Him to actually move in His power. Are you with me this morning? It's a subtle change, but we need to make that as a charismatic church. And I want to say to you, if we want to embrace an apostolic culture, we cannot fall into the trap of making that our main focus. We can also not fall in the trap of not making that our focus at all. And that is, unfortunately, what I also see in the charismatic church today. is that many churches actually forgot that God is all powerful. So we had many testimonies even of ladies that was being prayed for at the Wimbledon outreach that was healed from their backs, their legs. Amazing stuff. It's happening in London. Let's not forget with expectation what God can do. Now, I want to just say this again this morning. I've said it many times before. If we don't have an expectation for God to move, the Holy Spirit will not move. Because He's a gentle Holy Spirit that allows us to experience Him through the expectation that we have. Now, I don't say this morning, and I want to just make sure that you understand that, I don't say that the Holy Spirit is dependent on us to manifest Himself here on earth. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is that many times we don't see His hand and we don't see His manifestation because we're not focused. Because we don't see how He manifests Himself. And that's why I say so many times to you guys, please make sure to spend time with God, because you're going to miss Him today if you don't know what He's speaking to you about. Because many things are going to happen in your life today, but because you have an understanding of where He's at with you, you will see it. And in seeing that, this brings us back to the hope. With an eager expectation for God to manifest Himself to His sons and daughters in the times that we are living. And this is amazing. I want this. As an apostolic church, we are supposed to come to the place where we have an eager expectation for God to manifest Himself. And the third thing about the apostolic cult, or the apostles, was an expectation for the second coming of Christ. There was no revival in the past without an eager expectation for Christ to come back. You know, I'm reading the different epistles the last few days, and all of them has an expectation that Jesus will be coming tomorrow. Not one day. Jesus will be coming very soon. And within that framework and that expectation, we bring ourselves back into the space where the first church was at. And that was that they even greeted one another as Maranatha, which means that until Jesus comes back, may Jesus come back soon. So every time that they greeted one another, Maranatha, they would speak over one another, may Jesus come back very soon. May He come back and come and even relieve us of this world so that we can experience the blessing of eternity. Now, within that expectation, we can also say that when the Holy Spirit came, He also gave us a glimpse of what we would see in eternity. And every day that you and I live, we must live with that expectation. That we have the privilege to actually start to move in eternity. So, what is this apostolic reformation then? Peter Wagner did a study about this, about the apostolic churches in the 21st century. You can go and read the book. I'm not going to spend too much time on that. But one of the things that he said that was important about this apostolic church was the fact that they focused on the bigger picture. That there was a vision that they all had. Doing a study and going around to all the churches that was apostolic, he said, it's evident that every church that has an apostolic culture is a one with a vision. And this is important for us. Because if we start to focus on the minors and we become issue-driven church, we lose focus and we aim to nothing. And I see many churches all over the world, and I'm not excluding Shofar. All of us can come go back to Jesus and start to talk, have the real conversation. Do we talk about the real things? Do we talk about the lost being saved? Do we talk about God's manifest presence in people's lives? Are we talking about the fact that Jesus is coming back soon? Or are we talking about issues? And so you will find many churches get distracted from what the real issue is. And they start to focus on things that is so minor. You know, do we need more songs? Do we need more hype songs? Do we need slower songs? Do we need an interval in between the songs? Do we need to have children's church? Do we need to have color? Do we need... Are you with me this morning? I've been in elders' meetings in the past where we had fights about how big the communion bread must be. This is not in another church. In our church. And I want to say to you this morning, it's so easy to get distracted in what God called us to. And you know, if the devil wants to bring us to a dire straits, he always brings us back to the place where we must ask ourselves, are we fulfilling that which the apostolic church is supposed to do in the last days? Or are we busy playing church? Are we busy fighting about the minor things? And so, I can tell you, those churches, it was evident to Peter Wagner that they had vision and core values. It also was evident that every person being involved in an apostolic culture church was a person that was involved. A person that became the solution rather than the problem. So I want to say to you, next time when you bring a complaint, I'm going to ask you to be there. Okay. Woo! Are you with me this morning? If you want to be an apostolic church, you must start to focus on what matters most. And that is to be the solution. Because God has called all of us to be empowered and be strengthened by His Holy Spirit so that we can do the great works that He has called us to. It's so amazing to be listening to that word again this morning. Let me quickly just read this scripture. Ephesians 4:18. Rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Now, I want to just say to you this morning, it's so important that the church understand that different giftings are shaped and formed together for an apostolic anointing. And therefore, it's evident that an apostolic church is a church that has a well-balanced understanding of the fivefold ministry and an interaction of all being involved to become part of the solution. Apostolic churches spot potential before any sign of it. And I want to just quickly read this. Apostolic churches train leaders on future prophetic in order to be obedient now. Traditional churches focus on past experience to define actions of the now. Now, I'm not criticizing traditional churches this morning, but what I do want to say to you, for every church, doesn't matter which church, and this is Peter Wagner's book that I'm quoting it from. For all of us, there is a challenge in using so much the tendency of the past to direct us toward the future, rather than to ask God to lead us through prophetic understanding. I'm not saying that we must throw away that which the church was building on for 2,000 years. But what I am saying to you today is that we must be led by a God that still has relationship with His people and has a desire to communicate His vision and purpose for the church today. And so for us, it brings us to the understanding that we as an apostolic church, must be vision-driven in where God is taking us. And then also, he said apostolic church planting is important. Now, I want to end off with four things that I want to say to you as a church before we pray for the guys. Four things that I believe God is challenging us with as a church. First of all, we must be a sending church. Matthew 28:18. All of you know the scripture. So well known, we actually forget how important it is. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is a sending church. This is a church that has a desire to see God's purposes being fulfilled in the generation that we are living in. Not one day. Faith is now. Faith is not, I'm going to do a thing for God one day. Because I hear this a lot from Christians. One day, when I have the resources, when I have more slack at my work, when my children is bigger, then I will do amazing stuff for God. No. Faith and apostolic thinking is to ask God, what does He want to do with you when you move out of this building today into the streets? When you start to communicate with the person that stands on the other side of the till of the cash register, is God already speaking to you prophetically about what you should speak into that person's life? Are you aware of God's movement within your life right now? Because if you are, every day will be exciting. Every day will be a moment in the presence of Almighty God. Every day will have an expectation for God to move and to do powerful things. Not, you know, always departing the sea so that we can walk through the Red Sea. Sometimes it's as little as having a conversation at Wimbledon Park about Jesus. Sometimes it's just a small gesture of love and the acceptance of God over people's lives. But because we are not focused and living in an apostolic urgency and understanding, we're missing God every day. Listen to this. Ascending church, Matthew 5 verse 13. "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but instead, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." I want to just say that, guys, we are not planting churches to have churches. We're not planting churches so that we can have a franchise going all over the world. And so should anyone that is involved with the work of Christ. Because I can tell you, we are here to salt communities and to change and transform it so that God's prophetic action can come to fruition as an apostolic act to this nation. Now the question would be this morning, why Shofar London? And so I want to say, if you're a visitor here this morning, you can ask the same question about your church. And people often ask me that. You know, why did you guys decide to come here? And I want to say to you, I'm always reminding people of two things. The first one is, London is not saved yet. Okay, I love this place. And I want to say to you, I'm so excited. My kids think this is the most amazing place in the whole world. Okay, they already forgot about South Africa. They are learning the accent and all the stuff on this side. So I can tell you this is an amazing place. But what I also can say to you, it is not saved yet. There's a lot of work still to be done. And we don't have enough hands. Can we just all agree to that? To do the work of God. It was sad to see that we've been five people the last night that I was there, the Wednesday evening, or I think they went on to the Saturday, I don't know how many. But only five people doing the outreaches, and we have this huge door to talk to the whole world. We have this one amazing huge door to communicate to every nation, because they came to England for a purpose and such an excitement, and we as the church in Wimbledon can only get five people together to use the opportunity. And I'm not criticizing. What I'm just saying is, guys, we need all the hands necessary to do the job. The second thing is, there's a mandate. There's a mandate that God has given this church to operate in such a season. That's not the only mandate. There's many churches, and it's so amazing to see the Wimbledon churches working together. I hope that is the tendency in England, because I love seeing that. But what I can tell you, it's very difficult to work together with other churches and other church groups. But does God expect that of us? Yes, for sure. Does every church has its mandate? I want to believe so. And if not so, then they must sort it out with God. But what I can tell you, I hope not to be one of the flames that Jesus start to lampstands that Jesus gets rid of in the last days. I want to be the one on fire. I want to make sure that this church and the mandate that God has given us, that we are faithful to the cause of Christ in which He has called us to. And being in sending church is an understanding of such. And so, such a church as a culture to prepare the next, and I will be spending time later on this. We must always work ourselves out of a job. We must make sure that if you're a small group leader, that you already have two small group leaders that you are busy raising up. If you are a pastor, you must already be busy with two pastors being raised up to plant churches. If you are a congregant, then at least you must make sure to raise up another congregant. We multiply ourselves because that is the cause of Christ. That is apostolic thinking. Everyone must just, in their own capacity and own mandate, make sure to multiply themselves to the extent where God's kingdom can come. Are you with me this morning? And so, being a sending church is also one who releases people. You know, it's amazing. I remember when I got to Shofar, and I only have reference for this church, so I cannot talk about any other. But what I can tell you, when I got into this church, there was something wrong. Because when I went into the church building, everyone knew my name. And they knew what I was involved with. They knew what sport I like most, playing rugby at that stage, not anymore. You can see that. I'd rather carry the water. But they knew everything about me because they were praying for me for my salvation. They had an eager expectation because they saw leadership within me in the hostel. As a small group, they started to pray for this leader that can actually be of worth for the kingdom of God. They saw the promises of God within my life, and when I walked into that church, the people knew my name. And I want to say to you this morning, God has an amazing expectation for us to call forth those who need to be added to this church for a day such as this to fulfill His purposes. And I want to say to you guys, within this church, there's more than enough for God to work with, for the mandate that He's given us. God is not confused, and I want to make sure that you know that this morning. God is not confused. God knew that at this day, there would be a certain group of people, as diverse as we are, together to fulfill the purposes of God. And I have respect for that. I have respect for whoever God adds to fulfill His purposes in a certain season. But it's not as if God gives us the assignment without the necessary resources to fulfill it. God adds whoever is needed and whatever gift is needed to fulfill His body. I want to say to you, apostolic church is one with an expectation to release the necessary people to fulfill the work that is needed. And then change adaption. The fact that we always need to change because we are not perfect. Now I want to just say again, if you didn't know, you are not perfect. This church is not perfect. God is perfect. And all the struggles that I had with God in the past, He always won. Because He's always right. And that brings me to a place where I need to change and He stays the same. Can we just settle that? I've not seen anything else in all of the years that I served God. Is I have all the Jacob struggles in the world with God and I always lose. But you know the blessing of it is, after those struggles, I have a clear understanding of what God does in my life and who's in control. Because it's certainly not me. The second thing, and I'm going to go quicker now. Church that takes the lead. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 12 to 18. Not that we dare to classify or compare ourselves with some of those who are commending themselves, but when they measure themselves by one another and compare themselves with one another, they are without understanding. But we will not boast beyond limits, but will boast only with regard to the area of influence God has assigned to us, to reach even to you. For we are not overextending ourselves as though we did not reach you. For we were the first to come all the way to you with the gospel of Christ. We do not boast beyond limit in the labors of others, but our hope is that as your faith increases, our area of influence among you may be greatly enlarged, so that we may preach the gospel in the lands beyond you. Without boasting of work already done in another's area of influence, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. For he is not the one who commends himself who is approved, but the one whom the Lord commends. Now I want to say to you this morning, guys, this church is not the ultimate church. There's probably 1,000 other churches that's more amazing, more blessed, more. But this church has a mandate from God and entrusted with a mandate to fulfill God's purposes. And I'm going to do everything in my power together with you to see that we are faithful to that call. Can we judge other churches? No, we cannot. Are we supposed to work together with other churches? Yes, we are. Are we going to be judged according to the mandate that God has given to us? Yes, we are. If I stand before God one day, God is going to say, what did you do with the little that I have entrusted unto you? Good. If you're a faithful servant, I will bless you with even more. And so, trust is in the root authority, in the fruit, Wagner says, the biggest difference between traditional Christianity and apostolic Christianity revolves around the amount of authority the Holy Spirit is perceived to delegate to individuals as opposed to groups such as boards and committees. This is a wild statement, and I want to say to you this morning, God did not call board and big board meetings to change the world. He called each one of us to do our part. And this is apostolic understanding. Romans 12:3. But by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think sober with judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do all have the same function, so we, though many, are in one body in Christ, and individual members to one another. Thirdly, a giving church. We don't just focus on our own needs. It was mentioned this morning and last week as well here at this church that stewardship, and I've said it last year when I was with you guys, stewardship, worldly stewardship, is to use as little possible means to attain the greatest outcome, whilst biblical stewardship is to use all available resources to attain the approval of the one who made us stewards. It does not make business sense. And this is a struggle, and I want to say it to you this morning. This is a struggle for us that is in the world. We always want to turn, you know, our resources and make sure that we get as much as we can out of every cent that we own. But I love what Andre said last week about the great pull. If you understand what is most important in this life, you would give everything that you own and everything that you have and all your abilities and all your resources to fulfill such thing. A giving church is a church that understands that I give beyond myself. And I want to tell you, if me and my wife came to the UK for worldly stewardship, we've missed the point totally. Because we started all over again. We're poorer than we've ever been. The pound is really hard to get by. But I can tell you, it's the most amazing experience to be slap bang in the middle of what God wants to do in our lives. And that contentment brings us to a place of an understanding of stewardship and giving. I want to say to you this morning, as a church, and I want to take that through to us as a church. And I want to say to you, this church cannot only focus on its own benefit. It must always have an outer focus to bless. And that's why we are sending this church, and we are saying to you, Carlos, you and everyone represented here this morning to go to Guildford, we will stand by you. If you are going through hardship, we want to go through the same hardship so that we can experience the blessing and the understanding of being a sending church, a giving church, because it must be sacrificial. And the problem with society today is that we have been so caught up in materialism these days that the comfort of having everything does not allow us to actually be a blessing to others beyond ourselves. And if that is true for the individual, it's true for every church. That's why I don't believe that the autonomous church is the answer and the only answer to the body of Christ. I believe it's very important. I believe that every individual is... If I look at my family, every child within my family is important to me. If Anamart needs a tennis racket. Is that... Why does it sound so strange now? Then all of us in the house eat less sweets so that we can, in our budget, make sure that through our suffering, she can go and play tennis. Are you with me? The understanding is that, yes, she has an amazing gifting. And I want to say to you this morning, you are a gift to this church. You are a blessing to this church. But you're not the only one. Can we settle that this morning? I am a blessing to this church, but I'm not the only one. Even if you don't want to know it, I am a blessing to this church. Otherwise, God would not have opened the doors for us to be here. But what I can tell you, I'm not the only blessing. And I must understand that the greater cause within what God is doing to us corporately is going to allow us to grow to such an extent where we can understand God's purposes in the life that we are living in. God works. If I read 1 Peter 2 correctly, through stones being shaped together in such a unity that He can actually work with us. It's going to be a hard battle. You can already see there's a lot of diversity here. Praise God. But I can also tell you the amazing thing about diversity is that it comes with a price. Because in an apostolic church, we have an understanding that I give beyond myself. And that's why I don't want, again, to have a conversation about the autonomous church. I don't want to have a conversation about this church that has a lot of needs and only needs, and we forget about those we are sending and those even beyond them that are suffering and those who need actually more than we can actually give, because it is going to be sacrificial. And then fourthly, collective maturity. Ephesians 6 verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against cosmic powers over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. I can't go into much detail now, but what I want to say to you, the one mistake that you cannot make as an apostolic church is to start to fight in the flesh, because we'll destroy one another. You know how easily that same sword that we are using as the truth can destroy people's lives? And we call it, I'm only speaking the truth. Because when a church starts to turn against itself, it can destroy itself totally. I want to say to you, this is the body of Christ, and here we believe in covenantal relationships, which means that God pulls us together in a unit to fulfill His purposes collectively. And we love God for the mandate that is given to us together. And we fulfill that through obedience. Psalm 20 verse 7, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Matthew 25:6. Now I want to end off with this before we're going to quickly watch a small video clip. Please. How late is it now? Guys, stick with me. Stand strong for a few minutes. You know, a few years ago, I think it's about 3 years ago, Billy Graham had his 95th birthday. It was one of those moments when I watched, actually, his last sermon, they call it, but a sermon that was recorded because he was too weak to actually speak in front of an audience. He wanted to actually do a crusade, his last crusade, but at the end they realized that he was too weak. And it was one of those moments of apostolic understanding that I still have so dear to my heart, and I want to actually please send the link to everyone afterwards as well. You know, because here's a man that went through life, and probably the one that in our generation got most people. I don't know if he and Reinhard Bonnke is going, which one is going to sit the closest to Jesus, but that's been faithful to the call and the purpose of Christ. You know the amazing thing about it? And I know that there's a lot of controversy about Billy Graham and, you know, is he a Freemason or whatever. I don't want to go even into those things. But I can tell you this morning, I see a faithful man that at the age of 95, with his last breath, at a big celebration where all the celebrities all over the world gets together, Donald Trump and all of the big names got together to recognize, and I don't know, they call him the pastor to the presidents. I don't know how many presidents he's served in America. And the last message that he brought was one of the cross. I'm telling you, if I get gray hair and if I become so weak that I need to sit in a wheelchair and I still serve the purposes of Christ with such fervency, I know that I've been faithful to the apostolic call of Christ in my generation. And I want to invite you to do the same this morning. Before we watch that clip, and Ed, can you guys just lower that blinds, because I want us to actually see it. It's a short one, but please bear with us. I know you are very hungry. You're probably close to starvation. We are today actually preparing for the fast, so this is going to help you a lot, believe it or not. But after the clip, I'm going to call the Guildford people quickly to the front to come and be prayed for. I want to just say to you today, you don't give warnings to America, the greatest nation on this planet, if it attains to being powerful. Give them a warning if you don't have a mandate from God. I want to say to you this morning, the most amazing thing for me about apostolic living is the fact that you and I live for a purpose. Can we just quickly stand? I dare not live the kind of empty life that misses the purposes of God. I'm here within my generation to see God's purpose being fulfilled. And I hope that is your desire this morning. Is to come to the understanding that Christ has called you for a day such as this. And it's amazing. Not because you are magnificent, because you are amazing, but because you are nothing. And when we start to embrace the cross and the understanding of God's mandate that He's giving to us, we start to live life in the full. I have a desire to live in the full. I have a desire to have an apostolic understanding where God, every day, every second, every hour, give me a clear direction of what I should and can do within Christ. My desire this morning for you is to come to the same understanding. And therefore, I want to pray for all of us, and I'm going to do a cover prayer. You can come afterwards if you need some more prayer. But I want to trust that God is going to birth an apostolic understanding in your life. We're not doing what we are doing this morning because Carlos and Elmery thought it's nice to come and ride the red bus in London. Or David and Sally thought they would give up their salaries because it's nicer to be dependent on God every week for finances. I want to say to you, these guys are purposefully serving the promises of God. And my desire is that each one of us will have respect for that and understanding that God is in this place. That God is doing awesome things. You know, I didn't come to London because it's a good idea or because it's great to have a British residence permit. It's costing me. But I'm here because I believe this is of God. And I want to believe that you this morning are standing here because you have a prophetic and an apostolic unction to see the purposes of God being fulfilled. Father, we come to you this morning with a desire to see your kingdom being fulfilled in our lives. We choose this morning to be under your wing. We choose this morning to see you being glorified through our lives. Father, as we send this church to Guildford, and I'm saying church, but every individual, Father God, I pray that you will come and anoint them, that you will empower them, Father God, that you will give the urgency within their hearts to serve you and to serve your purposes. And I pray, Father God, that in this lifetime they will see many manifestations, Father, of your presence in and through their lives. I pray as we come as a group together today, Father, that you will make this holy ground. Father, we take off our sandals and we say that we will be obedient to the cause of Christ. Not because we are better, not because we think we are someone, but because we want to be obedient. And we bring our willingness to you this morning. And Father, we say that whatever you call us to do, we will do that. Father, we pray that you will speak so clearly into our hearts, in our minds, and not just give us revelation, but also an understanding and a wisdom to apply. And Father, this morning as we stand before you as your children, Father, we even send Alistair and his family, Father God, to South Africa as such seed, apostolic seed that, Father, can go and change the world. I pray that they will never forget that. I pray, Father, that the urgency will grow within their hearts like never before. I pray that you will, Father, put within us a Maranatha love for an eager expectation for your coming back. I pray that, Father God, we will be able to be like the virgins, ready for your coming back. And I pray, Father God, that you will bring us to an understanding that we can so easily miss what you have in store. And Father, I pray now that you will come and add to our lamps. Come and put the oil back into our lamps again. Come and, Father God, put the fire on our candles again, so that we will be fulfilling your purposes in a time such as this. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want to quickly ask the Guildford people to come to the front. Just come and stand here, and I want for the rest of you, please stand. You've sit long enough. if you can, if you're very tired, please sit. If we can just symbolically today come to the front as the rest of the church, and just pray over these people. This is brave. And I want to say to you guys, thanks for being brave. This is a challenging season. And this is a season where God is going to do beautiful things, but still, it comes with sacrifice. And thanks for sometimes, you know, going through the hardship of not even, you know, having momentum. And not even willing to ask people to come to church because we are only a few. But I can tell you the amazing thing is that when there is momentum and God does what He promised us to do, then we look back at these moments and we say, thank God that we were just faithful, that we could just stand. And all that we're asking of you is stand. we don't expect miracles, but what we do believe in is that God will bless you. You're going to Guildford. Alistair, where's your family? Okay.
Are you representing your family? Okay, so the two of you stand with them, because what we're going to do is I want to ask you, if you are willing, please just come and lay hands on the people here and pray with them, so that we can send them as an act of God's blessing over their lives. Okay, and we will do so for Alistair, for you guys as well. We are so blessed. Thanks. Be blessed on that side. You're going to have an awesome time. I know it's almost summer in South Africa again. we'll be praying over you guys as well. Amen. So quickly come to the front, come and pray for them, and then if there's any prayers afterwards, please.